Our text for this morning is Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 10. It is found in your pew Bible, if you wish to follow with me, on page 595. Again, Isaiah 11, 1 through 10. Listen now and hear the word of the Lord. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his root, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The sucking child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the water covers the sea. In that day the root of Jesse shall stand as an ensign to the peoples. Him shall the nations seek, and his dwellings shall be glorious. This is the word of the Lord. Will you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you for this passage of prophecy. And as we consider it today, once again, speak to our hearts and our minds. It's in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. I want to begin this morning in a place, even in the joy of Advent, that most don't want to be. But it can also be the place where we dwell throughout the season as we come and go. It is the place, incidentally, where the chapter begins that Isaiah gives to us. It is, if we were looking and as we started reading, the place of despair. Not a very Christmassy place to be, but it happens to all of us, even in Advent. Isaiah 11 begins with an uncompromising, blunt, almost brutal word that translators say comes from a root word that is unused in language because it's so obscure. And the word he begins with is stump. It's a horrifying word, if you think about it, conjuring images of amputation, loss, ugliness, finality. Look at what's left at a tree when it's been chopped down, and you see an empty space where life once was. A future literally sawn off. Around the church in the manse, over the years, we have watched several trees come down over the yard. Some by the wind, and some from the saw. Every time they lay there in our yard, there is a gnawing sense, if you're aware of it, of death. If you're listening, you'll hear it. These huge trees that have been there for years, dying. The tree which stood so high, provided shelter from the sun and the wind, now lays in the grass. There's an awe in what was created, but there's also a sense of despair. I can't pick it back up and put it back on there and make it live anymore. It's gone. But let's remember our perspective. If you think about a freshly felled tree that seems to be dying right before our eyes, it still has a vast network of underground roots. Those don't immediately cease to work just because there's nothing left above the soil that we see. And so there's always the possibility, in the place of despair, that a shoot will surface from the severed, amputated, final stump. there is a reason to hope. And that's what the prophet Isaiah describes for us. Hope in the face of despair in this chapter. The prophet is writing in troubled times. More than half of Israel has been invaded, dismantled, or destroyed by the Assyrians. What's left is under intense threat. Yet in the midst of despair, he, the prophet Isaiah, offers the people a new vision, a new life, a new reason to believe. A shoot will arise from the same family that produced David, Solomon, and the great kings of Israel that they remember when they hear the words. From a place of apparent despair comes not only the promise of new life, but a clear definition of what this life will be and how that life will take shape and even be recognized in the world. The first point Isaiah offers us is contained in the phrase, the knowledge of the Lord. We will hear this phrase again when Jesus is baptized. When we think of the Messiah, we remember that his knowledge is one of Isaiah's clearest prophetic traits. As we look through the list of behaviors Isaiah attributes to this shoot coming from the stump, this Jesus person, we see that a great deal of them relate to how the Messiah will be our Messiah, how he will live, how he will teach, how he will order our lives and encourage us to follow him onward. From this, we can conclude that he will not be blown around by the wind of the world, but instead he will encapsulate the divine knowledge with mercy, wisdom, counsel, power, and care. Our familiarity with this passage and the images Isaiah creates helps provide the sacred Advent images we hold on to as this new Jesus, this stump shoot, is coming for us metaphorically in a couple of weeks. The wolf and the lamb side by side. The leopard and the goat, as another translation puts it, resting together. The calf and the lion being with each other. These are familiar. And in their construction, they signal to us that what comes from the amputated stump, from the place of despair, becomes something messianic in nature that is tied to a knowledge of the Lord that we begin the passage with. But one final image is present in this passage that bookends this, our learning, and it says, "For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea." This phrase seems to bring both images together. We begin in despair with a stump. But in that place was the promise of what could be happening, could be in general. We learn that the Messiah who displays the knowledge of the Lord, that we aspire to participate in, offers learning and a presence for all of creation. Isaiah's ending from the passage is a blanket statement that is meant to comfort us in the mess we find our daily lives in. It is meant to move us further from despair and more toward hope through the knowledge of the Lord and the care of the Lord. In a single sentence, Isaiah stunningly brings life and faith together in a harmony of grace. The earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the water covers the sea. Everything the prophet said in the first part of his description can be summed up in the simple phrase, the knowledge of the Lord. It is the best of human wisdom, knowledge. It is the infusion of divine wisdom, the knowledge of the Lord, in us and with us. And it is comprehensive as the waters cover the sea. When the grind of Advent and Christmas becomes a grind you feel you cannot endure any longer, and maybe you don't want to anyway, just close your eyes and feel the warm, cleansing water this passage seems to offer run over you, giving you the strength, the peace, the healing, the calm of Advent. The world will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, Isaiah says. Just like that warm, cleansing water rises up over your weary body in a baptismal image, feel the joy, the peace, the hope of what that brings to you. Hear the prophet's Isaiah, in the midst of chaos and destruction and despair, in a place where hope could be hard to muster, describes resurrection for us, the violence of death, the unmet expectations of life, the projection of relationship, human effort and divine grace, upright trust and faithful compassion. It all comes together in this passage, right in this moment, in this promise from this text. This is a moment where the prophet dreams of a new world and a new life, where we will experience in the incarnation something that surrounds us and holds us in this divine knowledge that cares for us. It's a beautiful image and one that helps move us from despair toward hope and life. These are not idle words or poetic niceties that we say around Christmas. It's not just appropriate to read Isaiah 11 today and forget next month what it means as we put the decorations away for a year. This passage can be used and should be used to help us remember to hope when our days become a grind. The stump, the place of death, our life of despair at Christmas has become resurrected because of these words in a place of life and hope that has taken over if we're willing to look for it and hope in it. I wonder how this knowledge of the Lord that is born in the Messiah for us could change us as a church as we continue to grind our way through the Advent season that seems to be too short for any of our likings. Many of us have two poles in our minds at this point in the Advent calendar. We're halfway home, as I've said a few times this morning. On the one hand, we readily display our faith and confess that we lean upon the knowledge of the Lord to sustain us when life becomes hard. Or as the children said, we begin our days in prayer. It's not a lie that we perpetuate. It is our perception and our reality. We know the miracle of Advent, and we feel our hearts strangely warmed as we bow them and begin each day moving on, our first pole. But the second pole is the one where we give into the mentality of the stump being all that's left in our lives. We see what isn't, and we can believe that is all that will ever be. Hope may reside in us at times, but the vast majority of those times, I'm not hopeful, and I'm considering the death that's around me and the despair, symbolically and real. This text instead challenges us to acknowledge that both are part of life and both are real. But in that acknowledgement, we can lean into who God is this season. From a place of despair and death, maybe he could be the God of life and hope. He is the one who brings new life and a new blessing from a place of apparent separation and death. Isaiah and his audience knew a lot about waiting for hope, a hope that for them didn't come in their lifetime. But instead of allowing that to define them and dictate how they lived and how they moved on, they moved into the passage. They stayed here and they began to believe and they hoped for what might come one day, a shoot coming out of a place of finality. If that's possible for them, I wonder what's possible for you. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we are once again thankful to be your church and your people. As we continue to progress through Advent and all of the emotions that come, the joys and the hurts, the despair and the blessing, tie them all together with us. Help us to see you in the midst of all of that, so that as we see you there, we can see you're offering us something to hope in and to hope for. It's in the name of Jesus we ask this together. Amen.